At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, doctors are among our most trusted professionals, but there's an old saying, where doctors differ, patients die. The recent COVID pandemic illustrates this vividly when anti-vax sentiment, encouraged by some doctors, got huge traction online. Many who turned down vaccination on that account will have imperiled their own lives. The daddy of all this anti-vax sentiment was a doctor called Andrew Wakefield, who with others published a paper in The Lancet claiming a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, which had absolutely no basis in science. And it turned out that Wakefield had a financial interest in discrediting the vaccine. I'm joined now by expert David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, Why Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk and How Critical Thinking Can Save the World. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, Wakefield, we talked about before on this program and how he scared everybody and maybe led to a generation of children not being properly vaccinated. But let's be more recent. The pandemic. Who are the doctors who are anti-vax?
So at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw a lot of people taking to social media. And that was a net positive in a lot of ways. You had people communicating science. You have Luke O'Neill on this show all the time, very good at communicating science. But you also had a fringe movement of people who suddenly realized at a moment where everyone's focus is on this, that they could say things that were not evidence-based. And in 2021, the Center for Countering Digital Hate looked at the what they called the disinformation dozen, the 12 people responsible for over 65% of all.
And they could isolate
those
people.
They could. They absolutely could, because they could see them as there's a lot of vectoring of different networks and nodes, and they could find out how they did it. They found that just 12 individuals accounted for 65% of all the disinformation and about COVID, and of them, a full half were medical doctors. Now, we have to be very fair. The vast majority of medical professionals really care about patients, really care about evidence, and would never do such a thing. But you remember during the pandemic that there was always an audience for fringe views. If you were opposed to lockdowns, you would try to find the doctor on social media who was opposed to lockdowns. If you were opposed to masking, you could find it. It's a bit, you know, one for everyone in the audience, as social media is. And that created a platform for that. So we now have a very virulent, no pun intended, cohort of anti-vaccine doctors, both in America and in Europe.
Now, what was their motivation? Normally, it's money.
Oh, yeah, and you're nail on the head. It's incredibly lucrative to be opposed to the mainstream consensus. And there's a few reasons for that. Firstly, if you are disparaging the scientific consensus, you create yourself as a guru. And there's all the opportunities. You can have expensive Substacks or subscription newsletters, and there's plenty that do that. You can also sell your own alternative treatments. A good example was America's Frontline Doctors. They were a group that claimed they opposed lockdowns, they opposed vaccination, and they claimed that ivermectin, which is an anti-parasitic medicine, could cure COVID-19.
Now, interesting. We talked to Luke about that, because Luke heard about this, and he had a colleague, I think, in the Netherlands, who was actually doing research on ivermectin. And, you know, if it was going to work, great, cheapest chips, easy to make, etc. But then he reported back to us, you know, when the research had yielded results, that ivermectin was no good.
Absolutely useless. And you wouldn't expect it to be useful, because it is a very effective antiparasitic, but it's not going to work for a virus. The reason this group, America's Frontline Doctors, promoted it so much is that they had a second industry going where they sold prescriptions for it. They found the anti-vaccine cohort in America and they sold them prescriptions for a deworming medication. It got so bad that the FDA had to come out and say, seriously, you're not all horses, please stop taking this thing that's mainly for cattle. And that's one example where there's a lot of knock-on industry. If you establish yourself as a fringe figure, you will get a fringe audience who will part with money quite happily.
Now, you say that there are some people who have an ideological predisposition towards alternative medicines, and you say homeopaths might be likely to oppose vaccination. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of homeopaths who adhere to vaccination, but explain that to me.
So a famous study in Australia looked at homeopaths there and gauged their attitudes to vaccination. This is before the pandemic. 87% were a negative or opposed towards it. Now, homeopathy fundamentally clashes with the tenets of evidence-based medicine.
That it doesn't, in the sense that what the homeopaths say is that substances, you know, at infinite dilution, when applied, actually provoke the body into reacting. That's exactly what vaccination does.
Well, except in homeopathy, it is diluted out of existence, yeah. And you can show from.
But you know what I mean? The principle of homeopathy.
You think it wouldn't
be the principle of vaccination?
Yeah, but there's reasons for that. And this is if your mindset is very towards, you know, if you divide the word into natural and synthetic, which is a very arbitrary and not very clear distinction. And you're opposed to things that you think are synthetic, you might be opposed to that as well. You've got to remember in our lockdown protests here, if you remember way back to 2020, the ones in London were arranged by homeopaths and the ones here had a very strong presence. Again, that was a different time and a different era. The other motivation, of course, ideological, is people that have a strange view on health freedom, that they are
health
very
libertarian,
very strong American libertarian. So if the government tells them they should do something or public health advice tells them they should do something, they will have a knee-jerk opposition.
And yet there was no
it.
Compulsory vaccination anyway.
There wasn't. But you've got to remember, America had between 60, most states, 60 and 70% vaccine uptake. We had over 95%. So, or at least of one dose. So you can see that there's very different ideological cohorts. America is very
those
libertarian.
Doctors
so.
Shut up.
Oh,
you know,
God, no.
Given what happened and the evidence is there that vaccination actually worked, it helped to defeat the pandemic. They're still at it.
And this is really common with disinformation. People never go, I got it wrong, and throw their hands in the air. What they do is they fold back and they double down and keep going. And I won't name names because we don't want to get in that kind of trouble. There's plenty that still are doing it and have made a very lucrative industry out of doing so. Even now that we know vaccines saved millions upon millions of lives, they just don't care because facts are not the motivating factor here. Ideology and you know, profit really are.
Now, the question of trying to be balanced in any debates, it's like, you know, do you have a paedophile on to argue for paedophilia? No, you don't.
And the thing you're alluding to there is false balance. So the idea is if there's two positions that are mutually opposed and one has lots of evidence for it and one is conjecture or has no evidence, it is a mistake to treat them as equally valid viewpoints. They're not. So, you know, Dara Breen has the joke, you don't get the guy from NASA to debate Barry who thinks the sky is a carpet painted by God because there's an evidentiary difference in what they believe. But it's very easy, and social media allows for it. It used to happen when Wakefield, who you alluded to earlier, he got a lot of false balance years ago because even though the medical community looked at his findings and went, these are dodgy, and they turned out to be very
Lancet,
dodgy.
The Lancet published it first.
They did.
Eventually, they had to withdraw. But, you know, there should have been a sanction on Dr. Wakefield for what he was doing because he had skin in the game.
He did have skin in the game. And a lot of the people that we're talking about now are following the same playbook. They have skin in the game. And again, science and medicine isn't just about what a doctor or scientist says. It's about what the evidence says. And once a doctor or scientist goes off the evidence and starts making stuff up, their credentials no longer matter. They're off-piste. They're not being doctors or scientists. They are not being evidence-based.
And what about the associations to which these medics belong? I mean, should they not be taking action against their members who've gone rogue?
Well, I would argue they would. So last week, Professor Trish Greenhall and myself had a paper published on this where we looked at this. What should regulators do with members that go rogue? And we would argue the very first thing to do is you assume good faith and you issue a caution, a very public one saying the information you're spreading. And we gave examples of this. For example, if a doctor goes on social media and links a celebrity death and says maybe they got the vaccine, you would caution them and say, and this does happen, by the way, you'd caution them and say, there's no evidence for that. It's entirely unfair speculation. If they persist in doing it, well, then you should take action. It will require, excuse me, regulators to be more proactive. And they've been a little bit reticent to be that way. But some of the American regulators are starting to realize this is a massive problem. They found that 52 physicians in the USA, in a recent JAMA paper, were absolutely dogged at spreading disinformation. And they actually did this. This has real effects on patients. So I think regulators will have to step up and say, if our members go rogue, we might have to take action. What's really important is we have a clear framework for that as well, so we're not stifling free speech.
That's the difficulty in America, isn't it? This First Amendment, the right to free speech, even when it's the right to be wrong.
Absolutely. But you have the right of freedom of speech doesn't give you the right from freedom of consequences. If you went out there and started saying hateful things about people, people would stop listening to the show. That would be a consequence. So if you're a medical doctor and you start spreading disinformation, the consequence should be that you can be censured or that people can go, you're a crank.
Now, finally, we should briefly talk about Havana syndrome.
Ah, Havana.
This was this way where staff in the US embassy in Cuba were suffering from ill effects from some strange phenomenon.
A strange phenomenon. It started in 2016, and it was originally in Cuba that US diplomats started feeling woozy, non-specific symptoms, usually headaches, clicking sounds, things like that. And it led to fears that they were being targeted, and this is a very specific thing, by energy weapons, microwave weapons or arrow weapons. And this got very, obviously this sounds very science fiction-y, people got very excited about it. And then other embassies around the world started reporting things as well. However, in the years since, we've had seven intelligence communities in the US come out and say, we don't think this is a foreign actor. We don't even think this is a real organic syndrome. And the belief is it's psychogenic, which means, you know, people get paranoid. The nocebo effect is the evil cousin of placebo effect. You take a placebo and you feel better even if it does nothing. The nocebo is the inverse of that.
Well, there's nothing happening at all, but you feel bad.
Well, if you're told, you will. It comes from originally the medieval church used to give fake relics to people who claimed they were possessed by the devil. And they would, if they reacted to it and it was a fake relic, the church would go, well, they're obviously faking it. Nocebo means I will harm in Latin. So it's the opposite of I will help. Yeah. But this is a good example of it. Now, it's recently in the news again because an investigation by some media groups has suggested that maybe there was a secret Russian weapon. However, a medical study last month found that there was no differences in people that claimed to have a syndrome and those that did not, in from brain scans and medical tests. So you're looking at something that's really potentially quite subjective. And also there's the slight physics problem that an energy weapon, and these were originally talked about in the 1960s, they don't work very well. You can't direct them very well. And any kind of physicist you talk to will go, this is not a viable weapon. So it's very important to separate panic from what actually might be underlying that panic.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy your wisdom every week when you come in. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.